the last subject to be brought into the light today that has been given to me is the claim of world war. It is a claim, only a claim, though it appears to be rampant in our explicate external world, that world that we perceive as the world that we live in and move in and have our being in. Though in truth we know that we really live in a different world, in a universe that is harmonious and peaceful. But, and there's always this but, this is what it appears like. That there's this faction and that faction, and that they don't agree. There's this nation and that nation, and they don't agree. This perception of consciousness is different from that perception of consciousness. This lifestyle is different from that lifestyle. This way of looking at God is different from that way of looking at God. And don't we remember that so many of the great wars of history have been religious wars? How odd, how strange, that those who seek God with all their heart and soul and happen to see a different view of God from another would take vengeance on the other, to wipe out the other's viewpoint. How strange, how un-godlike, how unloving. And so it must be that truly, though they seek to know God, as yet they do not know God. For if they knew God, they could never make war. There are no other factions in God, not even in the model that represents God. There are no disparate factions in being. No, there is only all, including all, never excluding any that are part of the all. No factions, no differences, no divisions, because the all never divided itself into fragments and pieces, never divided itself into different perspectives, different feelings, different focus. No, the all is in a supreme sense a focus, a supreme prisming in which there is divine transparency. The all is in a state of divine transparency, a state of love in which every aspect and every function is love-oriented, totally embraced in divinity, Where does this lie come from? Is it so that in the Big Bang and in the separation in consciousness, that which we are dispersed in such a manner as to not be able to recognize each other, to be fooled by our perceptions of each other, to judge each other by virtue of the differences of our appearance, our color, our tendencies, our predilections? Have we been so thrown out from center that we have no remembrance of our unity? Oh, consciousness, where are you? Can you not recall your oneness, your unity, the fact that your individuality is not separate from every other individuality, and that it is whole, that it never broke apart and took on just a fractional appearance, thereby to see something else through the skewed looking glass of your fractional sight? No. Underneath it all, nothing was splayed. Nothing was sent out to the far reaches of a pole where it could fail to be in touch with its unifying principle of love, could fail to recognize that it's holographically united with everything in the field, could fail to recognize that it lives in a unified continuum in which all reflect the divine principle, love. We are living truly in a united continuum, a united field, and love is binding us into one. He's binding us back to one. We do not have to be religious and be bound back into time. No. Return to our oneness, to the unity that is inherent in our being, that resonates within us at the deepest possible level. We cannot lose touch with that unity and wage war upon each other because we fear each other or hate each other or misunderstand each other or do not trust each other. No. We only fear what we do not know. We fear the unknown. We only hate what we feel is our enemy, what we feel is different and might threaten us. No. We don't need to feel isolated and alone and unsupported and unprotected, or just buoyed up by a few collective souls that seem to resonate with us, abide with us? No. No. 1,000 times no. At core, we are unified. we are one. We recognize each other. At core, we are in a state of universal reflection, in which we are forever giving unto ourselves and giving unto the universe the true qualities of its being. At core, we are acknowledging for ourselves in the universe the true qualities of being. At core, we are accepting for ourselves and our universe the true qualities of being, because we are not separate from that universe. And because the divine fatherhood and motherhood of that universe is forever supplying us with our qualitative being, and supplying all with its qualitative being, and holding us all as a unit in its deep embrace, not letting any of the qualities of our nature eject, disappear, get lost. Thereby, we cannot see each other falsely. We see through the eyes of our consciousness, and our consciousness in truth is whole, and thereby we must see each other as we are, whole, and reflecting beauty and glory and kindness and oneness. And as we see each other correctly, we will not be afraid of each other. We will not distrust each other. We will not hate each other or be at war with each other. No. No. We will have no grudges for past hurts. We will know that none of that was true. That no historical happening is accurate. Because in the unified field, there is no time. And our experience of time is only a product of our drift off the focal point of optimum orientation, and we will be reoriented, so we will see our universe in a timeless state and not recall or remember any strange and unusual happenings in that universe, because they never happened. When the universe is at a state of optimum equilibrium, and when we are at a state of optimum perception, we cannot missee our universe or any of the goings-on in that universe, and so therefore we won't have mis-experienced anything. And if we haven't mis-experienced a happening, then we won't hold grudges for what we think has gone on, and try to repay those grudges from one generation to another, ad nauseam. There is only life, the nowness of life, the eternality of life. Nothing has ever caused anything to die, to be destructed in any way. Nothing has ever annihilated another. No. In a unified field that is timeless, nothing that appears to have gone on in time has ever gone on. In a universe of holistic consciousness, no distortions and warps that ever have appeared to give evidence in the human realm have ever truly gone on. In a united field, we have lived together in a deep state of harmony. We have known each other as we are. We have felt each other as we are. We have seen the good in awe and sensed its dignity and its divinity and its true character and its true nature. And as such, we find our relationship with all the individualities that make up the universe through our deep principle, through the principle of that universe. And as we see each other via that principle, as we relate to each other the way that principle relates to its whole universe, there are no divisions. There are no differences. No real differences. Yes, we are all unique. Yes, we have different offices, but there are no real divisions. Nothing to cause a breach between thee and me, between thy people and my people. No, we are of one people. We are brothers living in a deep brotherhood. We are sisters living in a deep sisterhood. We are related. We are one family. And it is not a warring family. It is a loving family. A family that cherishes each the other. And we cherish each other. And we always have. And we always will. And the belief that we do not is only a belief that is held in the dormancy of the dream. And as we awaken in the dream, and as we awaken to our true consciousness, it will be clear that we are one family, one divine, unified, harmonious, loving family. And we will wish each other good. And we will give each other the optimum of good. And we will receive from each other the optimum of good. And we will feel comforted and at peace. And there will be no more war. There will be no more attempting to destroy another perspective, another slant on reality, another individual, another body. No, there will be no more war. There will be no more killing. It will be seen in the deepest heart of hearts that we are a reflexive individuality, and whatever we put back instantly comes back. That how we see our universe, how we give to our universe, instantly feeds back to us. We will know instantly that if we attempt to annihilate another, we will be annihilated. That if we attempt to do in anything in the universe, we will believe that we are done in. Not that it is possible, truly, but in the dream, that is how it goes. Why? Well, because there is always balance, and there is always equilibrium. And if you're polarized and you're off, then the pendulum swings back and forth. And as far off as you are in one direction, you will find yourself that far off in the other direction. So, as we go to center, as we rediscover our deep equilibrium, and as we find our place in the holographic oneness, the holographic unity of being, as we take up our true office and resonate and give our wonderful presence into the universe, and allow it to give its wonderful presence to us, we will be joyous, each feeding the other, each giving to the other, each acknowledging the worth of the other and the princeliness of the other, each accepting the other as devoted, interrelated family, each accepting the other in its true qualitative being, cherishing all the brotherhood, sisterhood, family, cherishing our universal family, we will be in a state of self-cherishing, a state of self-nurturing, a state in which we can only provide the food that we have been provided with, the food of life, the food of truth, the food of love for each other. A true state of universal reflection in which we cannot reflect or give out to another anything other than we have received from the Divine Father and Mother that has created us and holds us in our true creative being. There has been no lapse from, nor return to harmony. There has been no lapse from the embrace of love. We are held there right now, protected right now, cherished right now, united right now. It's wonderful. We are as one. A circle. Each heart holding the other. Each hand holding the other. One united body. One united resonant, purely reflective body. The object of love's understanding. And we cannot objectify that which love does not understand. And love does not understand anything that is not peaceful and peace-giving. It does not understand anything that's disintegrated, only integrated. It doesn't understand anything that is not universal or united. It only understands oneness, unity, universality, wedded bliss. It does not understand anything that is isolated, cut off, separate, alone. No. Love, which gives birth to the universe, which gives it its qualities and lets that universe objectify its qualities, is omnipresent. It is present everywhere, in all time, in all seeming space. It is present in every level of consciousness. And it is never not present. Love is always present, always there to lift and meet. the need. But in love itself, there is no need. And we can only resonate and reflect the unified, objectified presence of love, our mother. We are held in that womb, in that matrix. It gave us birth. It conceived us. It never conceived us in a fractionalized way. It always conceived us as united. Always. And we are never in a state that does not reflect that which love has given us. And if we believe we are, we cannot stay there for long. Because deep in the depths of our consciousness, love is there. Love is there, reminding us of our oneness with all, reminding us of our unity with all, reminding us that we are one, one, one.